Rink, a hockey podcast by hockey bloggers for hockey fans. I am James Tapelake Graylian, along with Tom Luongo. The trade deadline is over. Tom and I are going to tell you who went where, why they went there, did they get enough back for him, and frankly, what was anybody thinking? The winners, the losers, and somewhere in between, all of that is coming up on The Rink. I can't remember the last time I had this much paper spread out in front of me. Trade deadline day, and frankly, more moves than I thought were going to happen. And it's kind of hard to pick where to start. I kind of almost want to start with the goofiest one of all, which was the last trade that I heard about, which was basically the Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning, Leafs getting Jamie Huard and Olaf Kolzig, and then swapping basically a couple of defensive prospects. So that's a bit of a head-scratcher on that one, because Kolzig's done for the season, and I believe from what I heard on XM Radio, Jamie Huard's been out with concussion problems. So that's kind of a weird little move there, which I don't understand.
Salary issues. Tampa's trying to cut expenses for the last third of the season, and Toronto has much money.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
I guess so. I mean, especially considering a few of the other moves that they made, such as Toronto Maple Leafs trade Nick Antropov to the Rangers for a couple of picks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, also trading Dominic Moore to the Buffalo Sabres for a pick.
Right, so, for a second pick.
That's, yeah. You know, that's, those were two guys everybody expected to move. But right. I didn't figure that the Rangers would be picking up all that much, and they did. They made kind of a splash today, I thought.
Yeah, well, they picked up Morris and Antropov, and you and I talked before we started tonight. I look at it as I see a whole lot of moving sideways, and possibly even getting worse, because I don't like the mix of basically cast offs from other teams that the Rangers are almost like. The failed Oakland Raiders of the 70s, where everybody's cast-offs went to the Raiders and then they won championships with them. This is the Rangers are where big names go to die. So we now have Derek Morris and Nick Antropov to go along with head cases such as Marcus Naslund and Nikolai Zhertov. They got rid of one head case and they sent Dmitry Kalinin out to off the island and out to the no man's land of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a big Nick Antropov fan, so I can see why they'd want him. They need size and hopefully scoring off the wing in order to help open up some ice for either Drury or Gomez.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Derek Morris play in a long time. It's always been a fan of the guy, but I haven't watched him play in 2 or 3 years, so I can't really comment as to whether how much of an upgrade he is over Kalinin when Kalinin is at least got his head in the game, which is usually
I'm trying to take the whole thing as a an entire package of what happened, not just today, but also with them picking up Sean Avery on reentry wires. If I were looking at it that way, I kind of am looking at it as Pruka for Antropov, Derek Morris for Dmitry Kalinin, Nigel Dawes for Sean Avery, and then they lose a couple of picks. And to me, that looks like an upgrade. Yeah, you know, the Avery's a question mark. You know, more than anything, I think. But that's if I were looking at it in a total package like that, then it all seems to make sense to me. It seems like a definite upgrade for the Rangers to me.
Well, yeah, and in some ways, I think you're right. I'm not going to completely disagree. I would just pick and choose, but just to add to that. Part of the Rangers' problem has been all year a real lack of effort, the consistent effort, and that coming from their big guns as well as not having their big guns not lead their young kids to, you know, step their game up. And bringing in Nick Antropov is not going to provide that. And Morris hasn't been in a position to lead anything for a while, having been out and helping in the rebuilding process out in Phoenix or trying to be the linchpin of the rebuilding process out in Phoenix. Not taking anything away from Derek Morris, but I'm just really not all that impressed with Antropov. He's just a very, very inconsistent player,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of inconsistent players in the Rangers. And you know, if they play, if he plays consistently and plays well, and the change of scenery does him well, then yeah, the Rangers are going to upgrade.
Well, and they had a lot of inconsistent players on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, it's to me, it's a question of whether or not it's the player or the environment. And you know, the Rangers and the Maple Leafs have both seemed to bring out the bring that out in players. So maybe it's, you know, maybe a change of scenery is what's in store at this point.
Right. Yeah. That's possible. Yeah.
Of course, the Leafs' other move was Dominic Moore to the Sabres, and the Sabres had a pretty busy day overall today. With that, a little bit of goaltending and a signing.
Yeah, they got Michael Tellqvist from Phoenix for a fourth-round pick in 2010, which I'm actually very happy about. That's actually a 2010 pick. And then they re-signed Tim Connolly 2 years, $4.5 million per. To get back to the original point, which is that Dominic Moore, I think, is actually the really, I think, to me, is actually the key of the day. They give up a second-round pick, which they had to trade Aleš Kotelik to the Edmonton Oilers to get, and what probably the most complicated trade in NHL history, involving four teams and half a dozen players or something, where Carolina gets Eric Cole and a fifth-round pick, and the Oilers get Kotelik and Patrick O'Sullivan from the Kings. Injured forward Justin Williams goes to the Kings, and did I miss anything?
O'Sullivan going to the Oilers.
O'Sullivan into the Oilers. So the Oilers get O'Sullivan, Kotelik, and a second-round pick.
That pick then gets sent off to the Sabres.
Right, gets sent off to the Sabres, who use it to acquire Dominic Moore from Toronto. It's just,
it's a weird web.
Wild. It's just wild. But it's something that the Sabres actually needed. They addressed what I thought was a real serious organizational dearth, which is that this is a team that was so deep at center 2 seasons ago with Drury, Briere, Gostad, Roy, Connolly, and then they all of a sudden they were down to Roy, Connolly every once in a while, and Paul Gostad. So they really did need to shore up the center position. And after this season, if Connolly left, they would be down to Roy and Gostad. And really nobody else in the system, because former first-round pick Marek Skripal has not panned out at all and is likely to play out a rookie contract and probably go back and play in Europe.
Yeah.
So while I think they overpaid for Connolly in terms of money or in terms of even the budget, it was something that you're in the position where you have to do something. You have to do something like that in order to really retain what I know Darcy Rivière felt was the most talented centerman really available.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick up Moore to address an organizational depth down the middle. He's a good face-off guy. He's going to bring an effort every night, something that Kotelik didn't always do. He's a more complete player really than Aleš Kotelik is, and so now you have more enviable group of centers coming down the stretch for a playoff run.
They also picked up Michael Tellqvist off of from the Coyotes for a fourth-round pick.
Right.
It begs the question as to what's Ryan Miller's status at this point, and you know, which I'm sure uncertain is the answer.
Uncertain is the answer, but according to Rivière today, you know, what he said is he told Paul Hamilton, WGR, was that definitely back before the end of the season. So they really felt that because they've got a lot of 3 and 4 games coming up, and Rivière talked about this both on WGR and TSN tonight, that because they have a bunch of 3 and 4 sets coming up, 3 games and 4 nights, that they didn't want to put Lalime in the position of having to play all 3 games. So they brought Tellqvist in because they needed to have somebody there, and Jonas Enroth is really not ready. He's only 20 years old.
Well, and you and I have debated the Lalime's ability as a starter. He's been hot lately. As you say, going in, you've been watching him and say he's been pretty decent. My feeling, of course, is that he's pretty much a perennial backup at this point. If the Sabres really valued the backup position, I mean, we can see what happened when they ditched Biron. We can see what's been happening with that. So until the Ryan Miller injury, being a backup in Buffalo pretty much kind of regales you to being almost the same as being Marty Biron's or Brodeur's backup.
Right, and, yeah. and that's partly Lindy Ruff's fault. You got to understand that there's a lot of rumbling in Saberdom about how Ruff handles his backup goaltender.
Holy cow! Wait a minute. Did you just say something about Lindy Ruff that wasn't positive?
Oh, I
did somebody take away your cookies?
No, I hate the way he handles his backup. I think he should have been playing Liam a lot more this year. I thought he should have played Jocelyn Thibeault more last year, but I think Thibeault really wasn't. Thibeault was not in nearly the condition or at anywhere near the top of his game last year relative to where Lalim is now. Lalim is playing at a much higher level than Thibeault did for us last year. But Ruff is one of the big problems with what I think that Ruff has as a coach is that as when he started as a coach, he had Dominic Hasek, who he could just ride. Hmm. And he never really learned how to manage his starter versus his backup, and it was a problem when Baron was here, and it's been a problem for the last couple of seasons now that Miller's the starter. I think that he waits way too long between starts, and then he throws his backup out there, pretty much to dry. And if this team doesn't score four goals, then they're not going to win. And before tonight, I think they brought it up on TSN, they scored less than two goals a game for Patty Lalime. So he was coming into the night 2-9-2, but it really wasn't bad. He's been, the golden goals against right around three and, a .900 save percentage.
This is not a Buffalo Sabres broadcast this time. We got a lot of work to do here. We got a lot going on. Bringing up the Buffalo Sabres with you is almost like putting on Alice's Restaurant. my bathroom break.
That is true. I'm sorry.
We're moving on. We're going to talk. I think that one of the things that you and I were mentioning was Antoine Vermette from the Sabres to the Blue Jackets for Pascal Leclaire and
from Senators. Actually,
I'm sorry, from the Senators. What did I say?
You said Sabres. Actually,
I did.
So,
jeez. See, you get it's your. I blame you. It doesn't matter if it's your fault or not. I blame you. Pascal Leclaire goes to the Senators. That's an interesting one. I totally understand why Vermette would go the direction he did. But Leclaire, I guess they've pretty much. I guess the Blue Jackets have just given up on him now.
Well, I mean, Steve Mason looks to be the real deal, and Leclaire's injured for the rest of the season. And Columbus needs to make the playoffs, and they needed some depth and the forward ranks to hopefully try and put a puck in the net more often every once in a while. And not that I think that Vermette's got all that – his hands are really all that great. I think he is what he is, which is a perennial 40-point guy. And they've got a lot of 40-point guys on the Blue Jackets, but he's a quality hockey player, and he's good at all phases of the game, and maybe he'll fit better in Columbus. And I think it's a good trade for both teams. Leclaire, when healthy, I think has a shot at being a legitimate number one goaltender who's not a complete head case. So that's what Ottawa needed. And if they're going to go forward, they need to have some kind of steady situation in goal.
Yeah, it's just amazing for me that the Blue Jackets started out the season pretty much almost positive it was going to be Leclaire and Freddie Norina, and Norina's gone. He's left the country. Leclaire's getting got traded. So it's just been an interesting year. And overall, I didn't think that goaltending was where the impact was going to be on that team when I saw them in Columbus on during their training camp. That's just from what I observed. I thought it was going to be more of a complete team effort, and it turns out the goaltending has been the most important, the most interesting side of things.
Right.
Thumbing through the pages, but I think one of the biggest surprises actually was where Bill Guerin wound up with the Penguins. Absolutely no noise about that being the case, and. Which meant, they of course the talk was keeping it quiet, and then he goes for a conditional pick in this next draft,
Depending on how deep the Penguins go, could rise as high as a third.
Yeah, I mean,
for all of the drama surrounding Bill Guerin, at the end of the day, he's probably going to go for a fifth round pick.
Or fourth if they make it, and it looks increasingly like they're going to.
Right.
This just. you know what this smells of to me? This just looks like a carbon copy of last season, only worse. You know, the basically picking up the trying to do the exact same thing as last season, picking up an experienced guy, only they picked up a guy that has a lot less talent, you know, and they've just kind of been saying, well, we lost some stuff, but let's try and do the exact same thing we did last year and pray it works.
Well, you know, they waived Miroslav Chetan to bring in Bill Guerin for a late round pick.
Yeah,
to Bill Guerin for a late round pick. And Chetan,
how much were you smiling when Chetan got waived?
Oh, I howled when I saw that he cleared waivers. I enjoyed that actually. But on top of speaking of the waiver wire, you had Brendan Morrison get waived by Anaheim and get picked up by Dallas.
Yeah.
And what else happened off the waiver wire? Gary Roberts got waived. He didn't get picked up by anybody. And then speaking of old guys getting moved around again, Boston picks up Mark Recchi and the second round pick for Matt Lashoff and Martins Carsons.
How lucky really is Mark Recchi? I mean, he seems to just land on his feet no matter what happens.
He keeps
one of
playing
the worst
well.
Teams, and then all of a sudden, bang! He's upgraded to number one in the East. I mean, that's just amazing.
Well, because he's got a lot of experience, yeah. And at this point in his career, he's a perfect pickup for a team like Boston. Again, one of the issues that I had, with both Boston and Chicago coming into this playoff season is the lack of real veteran depth, and and taking younger teams, and they've got to be, get some playoff experiences. As people are fond of saying, the playoffs are a process. Well, Mark Recchi helps the Boston Bruins get through the first phase of that process, and I think Boston feels they have a legitimate chance of making a deep run. They picked up some defensive depth today, and picking up Steve Monitor as well from Terry Nokalainen. So I think, I think they have to try and make a sincere run at it. And if you're going to do that, you need to pick up a guy like Mark Recchi, or, even Bill Guerin would have been, if they needed a guy like Guerin, a guy like Bill Guerin going to Boston, I think would have been valuable as well. Guerin's been there. He's not been well, he's not done well, but he's been there. And I think that helps. Yeah. Recchi's won enough cups that with enough different teams that, That's a big pickup.
Oh yeah, it's Boston definitely got better today. I mean, and they didn't move a goaltender, which I didn't figure they would, but people were kind of screaming like they should. Calgary,
big splash.
Olli Jokinen goes to Calgary for Matthew Lombardi, Brandon Proust, and a pick, a first round pick, in fact.
And they pick up as well. They pick up Jordan Leopold from your Colorado Avalanche.
Well, let's talk about Jokinen for a moment first before I start my little rant.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is that it's obvious that like the Boston Bruins, Daryl Sutter and Mike Keenan feel they have a legitimate shot at it out in Calgary, and went and tried to get deeper.
Yeah.
And they upgraded their defense with Jordan Leopold, and they got their legitimate number one centerman. So, I honestly feel that this is a rare thing for Daryl Sutter to go out and do two big deals like this at the deadline. So he must feel really good about this team's prospects.
Yeah.
And, considering they have one of the best goaltenders in the league, and a very deep team.
Yeah. Bertuzzi is getting his knee scoped, by the way. So he's, right. he might be done for the season, for all we know at this point.
About a month.
Just a month?
Yeah.
Can we just say for the season? And, I like the sound of for the season better, but that's just me.
I know you do, but he'll be back for the beginning of the playoffs.
All right.
You can almost bet on it.
Yeah. Jordan Leopold is, I don't know how much I'd call that a big splash, but, it's another defenseman. It's kind of that funky circle of life where Jordan Leopold came from the Flames to Colorado for Alex Tanguay. Tanguay gets traded for a second round pick to Montreal. Montreal trades that pick along with basically a prospect and a bag of pucks back to Colorado to get Jordan Leopold back. So.
I think Leopold was the best defenseman move today.
Yeah.
I think he's a bigger upgrade over. I think he's a better all-around defenseman than Derek Morris.
I don't know. Okay. Derek Morris, Steve Monador. I mean, the thing is that with Derek Morris and Steve Monador, I feel like those guys have a little bit more of an impact than Jordan Leopold does, or at least I felt that he ever had with the Avalanche. Mm. But I mean, maybe that's just my my tainted view of things. Since as soon as he came into the Avalanche, he was out immediately with injuries.
Right.
Greg Wyszynski, Puck Daddy, did quote me today. The one quote he pulled from my blog today was that I wrote, "On the positive side, I don't have to type Jordan Leopold was out of the Avs lineup ever again." that was the entire quote that he pulled. Thanks.
Well, you know, it's good to get quoted. I heard G-Dub today on WGR talking with Nick Mendel and Kevin Adams. They had him on all day, and he was fun.
Yeah, he's great. He has a once a week on XM satellite radio as well. So right. Which I don't think he promotes enough. He needs to get the word out on that a little bit more. We haven't talked about Sammy Paulson.
His name is Sammy Paulson.
His name
is Sammy Paulson.
This is not Fight Club, but he did go from the Anaheim Ducks to the Chicago Blackhawks for James Wisniewski.
You could say he just left Fight Club.
Yeah, they seem to be taming down a little bit more. When I saw their, 8-4 blowout by the Atlanta Thrashers with our good friend from the Battle of California, Earl Sleek, even the mustache didn't mix it up. And
even the staff. No yeah, staff power.
It was pretty disappointing. But, that's kind of an interesting one to me.
I think it's a good deal for both teams. Chicago needs veteran depth, like I said about Boston and Recchi. Same thing with Paulson, who's been there and was a linchpin for the Ducks in checking line and winning that cup 2 years ago. I think it's something that Chicago needs in their room. Wisniewski is a guy that they weren't going to be able to sign. It was definitely on the block because they figure they're going to need the money to re-sign Cam Barker. There was a lot of rumors about where Wisniewski was going to go, and at one point he was actually rumored to go to Buffalo, interestingly enough, which I would have been very happy about. So I think that's a great trade. I don't know anything about the conditional guys and the prospects went along with that or anything, but Paulson for Wisniewski I think is a great trade.
I think that was actually it in that trade.
There's Logan Stevenson and a conditional pick to Chicago, and Petri Kontiola, I think I'm saying that right, to Anaheim. So a couple of prospects went back and forth with a conditional pick, and on along the same lines of a team that's, you know, a beast in the West that's upgraded their jam, as it were, at Anaheim's expense. San Jose picked up both Travis Moen and Ken Huskins.
Trading with the enemy there. That's got to make fans of the Ducks feel pretty weird. And also, they did have one more trade, and we'll talk about about San Jose in just a second. They got Eric Christensen from the Atlanta Thrashers, which of course was part of the whole Hoseda to Pittsburgh deal. It's Ducks really changed their face today. It's
they did a lot.
Yeah, they did a whole lot. That's going to be and which begs the question: are they thinking that their season's done, or that their season is going to turn around their season?
This sounds to me like a rebuilding situation.
That's what it sounds like to me too, and they're tied for that eighth slot right now.
Right, I mean, they didn't trade either Pronger or Niedermeyer. They picked up Wisniewski, which will help. They lose Huskins, they pick up Wisniewski, so their blue line is still a push. They still have good goaltending, but they've lost, you know, part. They've lost, you know, Paulson and Travis Moen. I don't know. It seems to me like they think they're, you know, Bob Murray is just going to see how far he can take it with these guys and then start the whole retooling process in the summer.
Yeah, that's what Moen seems like the big loss there to me.
You know, and Travis Moen is Travis Moen is being picked. San Jose had to get him because Mike Greer is out.
Yeah.
And that's who he's replacing.
And so. What's his butt just went out again? Jeremy Roenick. went out with. Right. I believe it was a shoulder again, and he's also both Greer and Roenick are 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
which is no good. And you know, but it is, you know, so that's, if that's the case, I mean, at least in the short term, it's certainly an upgrade for the Sharks from losing Greer. Of course, by the time that you and I finish this podcast and it's up and all of that, the Red Wings will have beaten the Colorado Avalanche, the no-look Avalanche rather than new-look, and taken over first in the West from the San Jose Sharks. So,
right. It can't all be bread and roses or roses and chocolates all year long. That San Jose is hitting their bumpy patch now with injuries and things. It happens to even the best of them. So.
Oh yeah, no, and they still have two games in hand as well over the Red Wings. So that's, you know, there's still plenty of hockey to be played, as they say.
Interestingly enough, that they actually the Sharks got rid of one of their headaches. They actually got rid of Kyle McLaren today for a 6th round pick to Philadelphia. Who's McLaren's been playing down at the AHL, or I think he's been playing down at the AHL for most of the year because of salary cap reasons. And but McLaren got picked up by Philadelphia. And actually, interestingly enough, I actually like this deal a lot, and I hate Philadelphia, which is that Philadelphia picks up Daniel Carcillo from Phoenix for Scotty Upshaw and a 2nd round pick in 2011. Mm-hmm. They freed up a little bit of I think they wind up freeing up enough cap space in order to bring back Danny Briere, and they get a guy with a lot of jam. Carcillo is a guy I have a lot of man love for. Carcillo is that fourth line guy that can score 15 goals a year, 10 to 15 goals a year, and give you 300 penalty minutes. I like this kid a lot. And like, Philadelphia needs to get meaner.
Yeah.
But hey, so.
Well, they did. They got rid of Steve Downey, so I guess they needed to do something to get a little bit meaner, huh?
I guess. I don't know. But it's interesting. I mean, it was a very interesting day, and actually It didn't feel like much, but at the end of the day, more players moved today than ever in the history of the trade deadline. Fewer really? Trades, more players, yeah.
Oh, okay. More players.
Fewer trades, more trades. Or more players moved. So it was a very interesting day.
Yeah,
a
lot of teams. Panthers and the Lightning did a little swap, which is, you know.
That's
Eminger
true.
For Noah Welsh and a 3rd round pick?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that's, another trading with the enemy. Interestingly, I didn't realize this, Eric McElhane from Fanhouse mentioned that this is his fourth team, Eminger's fourth team of the year, from Washington to Philly to Tampa to Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's... of course, you know, another Noah Welsh, another player going through the Tampa Bay Lightning system. And I think they'll probably have the record for most players to pass through their doors in a year.
And this is the second time Noah Welsh has been traded in a year, because he went from Pittsburgh to Tampa last year to pick at some point. He got traded. He was part of one of the trades last year that involved Pittsburgh. So yeah, this is the second time he's been traded. Hold on, let me look him up. He was with Pittsburgh, and they got reassigned to Rochester. So he got traded to Florida. Okay, They tendered a qualifying offer. Then he re-signed as a restricted free agent, and then somehow traded to Tampa. No, he was in Florida. So he got traded from Pittsburgh to to Florida, and then now he's with Tampa. Right.
So, poor guy. So, yeah. It's a lot of movement. We need to talk about who didn't make any moves today.
Interestingly.
I mentioned six, but it is really, as you said before this whole thing, we kicked off this podcast, it really is 5.5 in a way. Montreal didn't make any moves, but then again, they did pick up Schneider 2 weeks ago, so I guess that counts as their trade deadline move.
Right.
The Minnesota Wild didn't pick up anybody. They didn't do anything. And considering they're sitting squarely in 11th right now, they've lost their last 4 games. Their last 10, they're 3-5-2. I mean, that's... I would be thinking you'd be pushing the panic button a little bit right now.
I don't think that Doug Risebrough is not going to push the panic button, and Jock Lemaire doesn't push the panic button either. They did get Nicholas Backstrom signed to an extension, which I think it really is their big news.
Yeah.
And I think this is a team that's going to look very seriously at not at the trade deadline to remake that roster. They'll do that at the draft table, which is, I think, more Minnesota would be more their style. They'll look at the draft table and during the summer to make their changes to their team again, mm-hmm. And see what's working and what's not, and they're going to ride with what they've got. They didn't move Marion Gaborik because, well, he's
nobody's going to take him.
Right. It's the same thing with why the Sabres didn't move Afinogenov. Who would want him?
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, Afinogenov looked better tonight than he's looked in 3 years. Go figure.
Nashville didn't move anybody. Nashville did nothing.
I don't think Nashville's got the budget to do anything. It's surprising, actually, that they didn't move Jason Arnett, but I guess they feel that they've got as good a chance as anybody to make the playoffs.
I guess so. I mean, it just seems like, you know, I mean, they won their last five games, which is great and all, but, I mean, you know, you could be – they're not very good on the road. They're just not – you know, they're still – goals for, goals against is going the wrong direction for them.
Right.
Yeah, and I know they're high on the kite about their goaltending right now, but you know, still that's not the team that I think can really do much. I mean, again, do they get it? You know, squeak into eighth place and then do the same thing that they keep doing, losing the first round and quickly. I mean,
that's what that team really is. They're a first round. That's what they are. They're an eighth seed, 7-8 seed in the West. Really, no difference really between 7 and 8, 7 and 10. Honestly, but that's what they are. They've got good penalty killing, but you know, a very average power play.
Mm-hmm.
But if they play well, they can anything can happen. And I think that David Poile is not in a position to really do much. At this point, I'm not sure they have any budget to take on salary. You can't sell a guy like Arnott, and they're not going to sell J.P. Dumont. They didn't really have anything else to move, so they're going to just, you know, I'm sure they didn't get the price they wanted for a guy like Dan Hamhuis or anybody else that was rumored to be on the block. So they're going to ride with what they've got, and like Minnesota, they'll probably try and retool either the draft table or, you know.
Yeah.
After July 1st,
Vancouver really didn't do anything. But then again, what would they do? I mean, they've won their, you know, they're what, 8-2-0 in their last 10. You know, they're coming together from the Sundin trade. So, you know,
yeah, and they picked up the Sundin and all is beginning, and the ship has been righted.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason for Vancouver to have done much.
No, the two big ones. You know, Detroit, which, you know, we already mentioned that Detroit's about to take over first place overall in the West, but still they have the Osgood question. And also the other one is Washington and the Capitals and their goaltending question. You know, they of course have Jose 3 or 4, and he's been hot and then not and hot and not, just like as usual. But then with their regular backup out, Brent Johnson, who may be back in time for the playoffs, the backup really is the question. And the other night, was it Tuesday night, Carolina versus Washington. Carolina handed Washington their backsides with a 5-2 loss. Carolina scored 2 shorthanded goals.
Right.
You know, and 1 power play goal, which, you know, great, but 2 shorties. I mean, that's they have a question, and they didn't answer it today.
Well, they don't have a whole lot of cap room. And I think in order to free up cap space, they would have had to move Michael Nylander, and I'm not sure how much market there. I'm not sure. I'm sure that George McPhee tried to make a couple of moves today, but at the end of the day, there probably wasn't the right value on the table. They are solidly in the playoffs, and frankly, solidly in. It would take a complete collapse on Washington's part for Florida to catch them, Florida or Carolina to catch them,
mm-hmm.
In the South least. So they're probably going to be the 3 seed, regardless of anything else. And
right.
As long as they don't completely fall apart and play really well in their last 8 to 10 games coming into the playoffs, they can pretty much coast for the next 10 games if they really want to. Not saying that that's preferable or enviable or they should or they shouldn't, but you know, as long as Theodore doesn't get run,
Well, getting into the playoffs is one thing, and succeeding in the playoffs is another. And right. considering what you know last year, and they were you know went to seven games in the first round and were ejected. I think that you know building on that is something that the fans are certainly looking for.
Right.
I think that they can build on it, but I think that you want a little bit more insurance behind your number one goaltender. And
I think you just wanted to make an argument for why somebody would have picked up one of the Avalanche's exceedingly average goaltenders.
I wish that there was an argument for that, but I really, you know, I know that there's you need two people to dance, and there's no way I would have only pointed and laughed at anybody who would have taken them off of the Avalanche's hands, even though I really wanted to see it go. It wasn't, you know. Now, I totally understand. I would love to have seen one of the two of them move for something interesting, but no, I wouldn't wish that on anybody right now.
Fair enough. I was just picking at you.
And trust me, the Avalanche have earned it. I mean, you know, they've lost their last five games. They are looking, you know, they're horrible away. I mean, what 11-21-1 right. away? I mean, that's. Ooh, yeah.
It's funny. You think about, you know, a guy like Manny Legacy playing down in St. Louis, another team that didn't make a move today. You know, could they have made a deal to pick up Legacy, and kept him in the AHL, and then in case Theodore went down with a short-term injury, then they call him up. The problem, of course, is I think he'd have to pass through re-entry waivers at that point because he was waived to be brought down there. Then Washington would have to bring him back up, and, of course, he could be plucked off re-entry waivers. So I think that probably played into something like a guy like Legacy not getting moved. Interesting.
Legacy has a lot more baggage, though. It's not, you know.
Oh, I understand. I'm not saying you're talking about wanting at least somebody with enough NHL experience to come in and stuff him in the net, so that you're not bringing up some AHL goaltender. That's really what I'm.
The Blues did make a move. It was with the Penguins. Danny
right.
Richmond for Andy Wasniewski, and which I can understand how that could get overlooked because it happened like. Just minutes after the amazing splash that the Avalanche made with Jordan Leopold.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. I stand corrected.
Picks prospect and a puck, yeah.
Bag of pucks. We couldn't – look, at least, you know, you
a
were able to
– bag of pucks at this point.
A half bag of pucks. We couldn't give a Finnegan off away today. So, you know, couldn't give him away.
Well, and you were saying earlier also that the second round pick was the thing that seemed to be the driving factor.
Right.
Yeah, one first round pick went, if I'm counting up correctly, and that was right. With the Jokinen and Coyotes getting a first rounder. But that's that was the only first round pick that I'm counting
that
up.
Moved. Yeah, and even that first round pick, a third went back to Calgary with Jokinen. I mean, they still, you know, Daryl Sutter still did extract, you know, some blood in that.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of the draft. So, you know, picks were at an absolute premium. And, you know, it's something that it was funny. Bregier talked about it. He said, you know, over the course of the past, 15 years or so, the draft has been practically halved. It used to be 12 rounds. Then it went down to 9, and now it's 7. Mm-hmm. You've only got 7 picks. And, you know, we can talk about what's a 7th-round draft pick really worth. Well, when you're only drafting 7 guys, and you can only really sign 2 to 3 per draft class.
Yeah, you know, that's true. The depth chart has changed.
The depth chart, you know, in the AHL and in the juniors has tightened up dramatically. So, they become a lot more valuable, contra what Tom Benjamin said at the beginning of the CBA that they would be you know thrown around like they were worthless. Wrong. This is very interesting. It was a very interesting day in that respect.
And Tom Benjamin is like your con. It's like
oh yeah, he's like the anti me.
Benjamin. You're just gonna leave him on the planet.
No, I wouldn't do that to him. I couldn't possibly do that. Tom's a nice guy. I just disagree with him.
It was a heck of a day. I didn't expect it to be as big as that. Really, there was some a little bit more movement. You know, Mark Recchi really surprised me. The amount that the amount of stuff that the Ducks did today really surprised me.
I'm actually surprised more that what Recce fetched, I think, more than anything else, that he fetched as high price as he did, that he fetched a real defensive prospect.
Yeah, but you know what? He's playing in Tampa Bay, which means that they'll probably trade him or waive him in, you know, five days after he starts. I mean, it is Tampa Bay after all, you know.
But even so, in that second round pick in 2010, went to Boston. Yeah.
Any other big surprises that you anything catch you really off guard?
That Florida picked up a defenseman as opposed to trading one off. Everybody was talking about who's going to get Jay Bouwmeester, and at the end of the day, Florida added Steve Eminger to their blue line.
Yeah,
you know that I think that was really surprising, that guys got signed as opposed to getting traded. So Backstrom got signed, Connolly got signed, as opposed to moving them around. I think that was probably more surprising than anything else. And you know that a couple of guys didn't get moved at the end of the day. You know.
Well, the guys who didn't get moved that doesn't surprise me. I mean, Pronger doesn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah, Ryan Smith, of course, was – everybody was thinking Ryan Smith. Nope, no way. Didn't think that was ever going to happen, you know. And I never thought Bouwmeester was going to move. I didn't say – you know, the guy was – he's supremely quiet and I – you know, which can be deceptive. Just because he's not talking about anything doesn't mean that he wanted to move, you know. And,
right. You know, but the fact that he hasn't signed an extension with Florida, you know, says a lot.
True, but I mean, maybe it's just not the right. Maybe it's not the right deal. Maybe for him, it's not the right time. It's, you know, there's a lot of questions. I was actually really impressed with something that Brian Burke said in his press conference today. He was talking about no trade clauses, and that he would not ask a player to waive their no trade clause because the player earned it in negotiation or whatnot, and. He even said, even though I wasn't the GM and negotiated with that player, their contract isn't with me; it's with the team. And the team, you know, even under a previous GM, negotiated that no trade clause. So it was, right. and he said that if he had asked people to waive it, that's really disrespecting the player and what they're, you know, what they had. And it was interesting. It was kind of a different side of. Brian Burke than the angry media controlling guy that we always hear about.
Right. I actually, and he brought up something else that he said. I caught briefly. I was flipping back and forth between WGR and TSN today. He said that about Tomas Cabrera not moving. He said, you know, I think I probably priced Tomas out of the market.
Yeah.
I almost said, I told everybody this is what I want for him. And, you know, that just pretty much said, I didn't get one call today about Tomas Cabrera. And that's probably because I said, I want this, this, and this, and everybody went, no.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
What was the other interesting thing that he said was somebody asked him about the second-round pick that he got for Antropov and wondered if he thought he could have gotten higher, and he said, you know, when he first came to Toronto, he didn't think he could even get a second round pick for the guy, and that Antropov really stepped up his play. So
nice.
It was interesting. He's like, you know, he said that he had a talk with him, and he said, I can't take credit because I didn't do anything. It was the player that stepped up his play. So, you know, full kudos to him. It was interesting. It was, you know, again, that side of Burke that we don't necessarily hear about.
Yeah, it was interesting. So we had two different trades today from bitter rivals. We had Buffalo and Toronto actually got together for a trade. And then the other one was we talked about earlier.
Ducks and Sharks?
Yeah, the Ducks and the Sharks. Hell, even, you know, Calgary and Colorado making they shouldn't make trades, but they do. Yeah, the Ducks and the Sharks made a trade today across the pond. And at each end of the QEW, Toronto and Buffalo.
Maybe that's why the Detroit Red Wings didn't make any trades, because nobody likes them.
Maybe. And the last thing I have to say is I was still thinking about this earlier. I think maybe the trade sending Kotalik out to Edmonton is Darcy Regier's way of getting revenge on Kalo for the Vanek offer sheet. And I hate to say that, but I really like Aleš Kotalik, but he's a really inconsistent player. He's very, very similar to Nick Antropov. And I hope they're not expecting much out in Edmonton, because they shouldn't.
Well, it's yeah.
it's a harsh thing to say about a really nice guy and a solid hockey player, but at the end of the day, you know, we need more. You needed more from him. So,
Well,
I wish him well. But
All right. Is that all that you have to say?
Well, no. But for right now, that'll
we're
going
to have
yeah.
to save it till next week.
Sure.
A lot. It was a busy day. It was a busy podcast. It was a lot of stuff, but we got through it. It was good. So thanks a lot, Tom. I guess we'll see who the losers are and who the big busts are come next week. Because, you know, of course, everything in hockey shapes up within a couple of days.
Oh, of course. You know, everything is so static in the NHL that we could just, you know, by Monday we'll know everything about the history of the trade deadline.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, James.
Well, thanks a lot for listening to The Rink and our post-trade deadline recap. You can find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can find out how to subscribe to our feed in iTunes, join our Facebook group, even follow us on Twitter. You can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com, and you can always call us 24 hours a day at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.